Welcome to The Toolbox with our hosts, Joe Mangi and
the Raven.
Buckle up and get ready. You're not going to want to miss a single second of this.
Thank you for tuning in to 97.7 WVFF. You're listening to The Toolbox. I'm your host, Joe Mangi. I'm here with my co-host, as always, the Raven.
Keep it cranking.
And since it's so close to Christmas, I figured, you know, we'll be talking about Santa Claus, a.k.a. the Postman. But before we get into that, I do have some automotive news. I haven't got any complaints about automotive news yet, so until then, we're going to keep doing it. So, new coming out. Mm-hmm. This is great. We're starting off on a terrible note. GPF-equipped vehicles are going to start hitting the showroom floor. One of the first ones
Did you say GPS or GPF?
GPF.
What is that?
Okay, so any diesel fans out there, you know what DPF is.
Uh-huh, I've heard that before.
So, they're going to start putting them on gas cars, starting with the Ford Maverick.
Why?
For emissions. It's crazy how history repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays, vehicles are really fuel efficient and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But taking it back to the 70s, apparently these do rob horsepower. And that's not just from me or like some other random people. That is from Ford themselves.
Oh, wonderful.
So GPF or gasoline particulate filters are going to be installed to keep up with new emissions laws. Yes, they negatively impact the vehicle's performance. Just when you thought vehicle emissions couldn't get more out of hand. Yeah, so that's terrible. So, you know, there's going to be GPF delete kits, and then the EPA is going to be fining people hundreds of thousands of dollars for...
Or just stick with buying...
Modifying their own vehicles. It's coming.
Or stick with buying old cars that don't have them to begin with. I think all these new cars are garbage. I don't think they came out with a single new car, a 2023, and newer. It's all garbage. I don't like any of them.
Yeah,
Name me one. Name me one that you think is halfway decent.
Looks wise or
anything. Looks, power, anything that's possibly halfway decent.
Oh my man, you can't put me on the spot like that.
Exactly. Stick with older.
I was gonna say the new Mustang. I mean, the new Mustang, that's like the last V8
The mighty car. Have fallen on that one.
Not the Mach-E.
Don't get me.
Get they should have called it the Escape.
They messed up on that.
But, no, the actual Mustang that's not electric.
Oh, okay. I don't think that's 2023, though.
No, the new one. Yeah, they got one 2025. They came out with a new generation. That's V8.
Oh, God.
No, it looks like Mustang.
Yeah, does it really?
Yeah, they call it the Dark Horse.
Oh, no.
For real.
I think Katy Perry's going to sue.
You heard it here first. Oh, I do have some other automotive news, speaking mm-hmm. of garbage vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, we're never going to get sponsored. We talk smack on every manufacturer.
I mean,
but
if Top Gear was able to get sponsors, I think we will.
I think they were government backed, though.
Oh, well.
But okay, anywho. So, Jaguar mm-hmm. Launched its rebrand.
Oh.
It's very un-Jaguar-like. The new logo has many people upset. Bye-bye Jungle Cat with pointed teeth. Say hello to a pretty bland logo featuring softer tones and a mix of upper and lowercase letters in the wrong places.
So what does it say now?
You know that candy store you like, It's Sugar?
Yeah.
That logo?
Uh-huh.
That says Jaguar.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Why?
So a couple episodes ago, we talked about how Jaguar is, like, taking the year off for making cars.
Yeah.
This
is what they came back with?
Yeah.
After a year, this is what they have to show.
Yeah, they're like, gosh, we can't sell any of these E-Paces.
So this is what they think they're... F-Paces? Are they marketing to the younger generation? Is that what this is supposed to be?
I think so.
Like, I'm not understanding why they would... Do it like that.
I did see, I think it was Doug DeMuro.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good take on it. Because no one thinks about Jaguar, and now everyone's talking about Jaguar. But they're talking about how much they hate it.
Yeah.
But they're talking about it.
Yeah.
But they're talking about it.
Marketing. That is still marketing. Okay.
What else do I got here? New vehicle safety law coming in 2027.
Oh, fun.
All new vehicles are required to sound a warning or chime if the rear seat passengers don't have their seat belts buckled.
They're supposed to roll down the window and holler out of it? Like
No, you know if you don't have your seat belt buckled?
The front chimes.
Yeah. Now the back chimes. Honestly?
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I thought that was already a thing. But all my stuff's old.
I don't know. I love how they're making new laws instead of, you know, reinforcing the old laws. Because people still don't know how to get out of the freaking left lane.
You know what? That's a fact. If you're in the left lane and you're not passing anyone, you're getting coal for Christmas. And not the good kind. You're not even getting coal. You're just going to have dirty hands. You're just going to have coal on your fingers.
Just coal dust.
Yes. Mesothelioma.
That's, oh my god.
But yeah, that's all I had for the news. And I guess we're going to start with going postal, talking about Santa Claus and his many different
modes of transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to start off, since we are talking about Christmas, I wanted to start off with a fun and random fact about said.
What's the fact?
That we make about 4.6 million pounds of wrapping paper, Christmas wrapping paper, in a year. That's for a whole year. 4.6 million. And we throw away 2.3 million pounds of said wrapping paper in Christmas, in the month of December.
Oh,
so we throw away half of the amount we make for an entire year in 1 month.
I did see a new, like the new meme for dads.
Yeah.
Is... Well, everyone's unwrapping. Oh. They have the trash bag ready. And I can relate.
Yes.
Do what? Yes. They did it. You want to go back and watch the TV?
Yeah.
How about you do that? Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties.
Okay. I wanted to start with more of like the history background into it. And then... So, I'll have different vehicles in here, and I figured once I'm getting to those parts, of course, I'm going to ask my vehicle expert.
I'm an expert.
Can't. Okay, some words are harder than others, all right?
No, it's true. And I'm no expert. I'm just kind of autistic. So,
mine starts with St. Nicholas. Santa Claus made his first intro into the American pop culture towards the end of the 18th century, between December 1773 and 1774 in New York City. A New York paper back in the day was the ones to first announce that they had someone...
He's coming to town.
Yeah, basically, that like we had this big white guy with a beard bringing presents.
Going down our chimneys.
Pretty much. But he was named after St. Nicholas, who was a priest, I guess.
He was
Dutch.
Like a saint.
I don't really. Isn't that your religion, saints?
Catholicism?
I don't know. But it is impossible to separate the history of the United States from the history of its postal service. You know, when they first started sending mail and...
How all these presents get delivered.
Yeah, and sending presents, but not only that, but information from area to area. And I didn't know this, but it actually started with Benjamin Franklin. He was the first appointed nation's postmaster general.
Really?
Yes, he was the first one. Huh. And he was appointed back in 1775, so 2 years after Santa Claus. Our postal service is younger than Santa Claus.
And old Benny F's was running it.
Yep. And he started it, a group of colonists started it after a rebellion against the Britain's Royal Mail Service and established the Post Office Department, the forerunner of the United States Postal Service.
Heck yeah.
It's all started. Ever since then, the Post Office has made its mission to deliver the mail to all Americans, reaching even further and faster to keep pace with the growing nation. From horse-drawn carriages to railroads to the nomadic tubes, which you're really...
Pneumatic tubes.
Pneumatic tubes.
Not nomadic.
Nomadic.
I thought we were using Native Americans. He said nomadic. I was like, handed him the mail.
You don't understand how hard it is for me to enunciate things with an accent, all right?
I know. I just thought, I was like, whoa, we were just handing bags of mail to people that don't speak English. I'm like, yeah, go deliver this.
Okay, you know what? Here's the brief history of how the post office has delivered the mail for nearly over 2.5 centuries. So, first off to start them was the post riders. The earliest postal carriers in American history traveled along the system of post roads that... Actually, the Constitution, the government, the people told the government that first created America, they had to build us roads for the mail. There was no easy way to get mail to and from places, so the first job of the government was to create these roads that are in better condition than the roads we have today.
I knew it was coming. I knew it.
The roads connected small post offices, so they weren't just for everyone to use. They only connected office to office, and that was the specific route that each rider had to ride in between services.
On horses.
Back in 1789, they had 75 post offices over a span of 2,400 miles for a population of almost 4 million people.
That's a lot of mail.
That's a lot of mail. And again, this is in 1789. Like, that's crazy.
They couldn't just send emails in 1789.
No, you couldn't even send a bird.
I don't know.
I don't think they were sending birds yet.
I might not even been birds.
Yeah, the government hadn't made them yet.
Hashtag birds aren't real.
By the late 1700s, stagecoaches, the big horse-drawn carriages, they started to take more effect. So it's going from the one single rider to now it's about two people in a wagon, in a covered wagon.
I call shotgun. That's where that came from.
Yep. But these vehicles, they were so large for carrying mail that they had to use large horses as well. They were, like, specifically bred for doing this job. Lost my place. At the urging of Congress, the post office granted contracts with the stagecoach lines to help link the eastern community. So they're starting to expand.
Westward expansion.
Yeah, starting to do that. This was also during the gold rush when money was pumping in America. Yeah, and everybody's moving out and looking for gold and finding it everywhere. That's when this is all going down. It basically opened the floodgates to the Western migration of the 1850s. The stagecoaches carried mail along new overland routes, stretching all the way to California. So that was that big push all the way across the
nation. There was gold in them hills.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was the same, try not to go off topic, I wonder if it's the same like Wells Fargo stagecoaches that were also delivering the mail.
I don't know. It didn't really tell me specifics.
You got to call up Wells Fargo. But hey, do you guys know if you were delivering mail in the 1800s?
I mean, it probably wasn't called Wells Fargo. It was probably called something.
No, it was.
Oh, it was called Wells Fargo?
Yeah. Yeah, Wells Fargo is old.
Jesus, I didn't think it was freaking old country old.
Yeah, old, like state, like stagecoach days is Wells Fargo.
Daggum, yeah. I thought it was just marketing.
Yeah, that's what you call old money right there.
Oh, that's real
old money. Old money.
And that's why I don't care. Let me stop. Give me a conspiracy. So now we're working into the 1800s. We're past the 1700s, working into the 1800s. And in 1804, John Pintard, I am sorry for that.
Pintard.
There's no other way to say that.
Poor
yeah,
guy.
I'm Pinhead. A member of the New York Historical Society was distributing wood cutouts of St. Nicholas in his original Santa Claus getup. Like, that was...
It was blue. Santa used to be blue.
No,
that's not
this
in
was,
the notes.
No, it wasn't.
He used to be blue, though. Look it up.
Yeah, no, he did used to be blue, but I believe this was after that. Because the engravings contained the now familiar Santa image, including the stockings filled with toys and fruits hanging over the fireplace. So it's a picture of Santa with the toys and whatnot, and he was handing them out. He had hand carved these again. This is something they used to do back in the day for fun. This is when they walked 4 miles to school and back in the snow.
Uphill both ways. Barefoot.
Barefoot. And then again, in 1813, 6 years after Robert Fulton launched the first viable commercial steamboat line. They're going from land to water now. They started the line in New York. Congress authorized the Postmaster General to contract with the steamboat companies to transport mail. So they went from having people like personally own the boats and then them hiring
now
to
it's
now
their own boats.
The Postal Service has their own line of riverboats now. And by the late 1820s, the steamboats were ferrying mail up and down the East Coast all along the Mississippi River. In the beginning of December 1848, the U.S. mail had traveled by steamship to California via the Isthmus of Panama.
We're just going to say the Panama Canal.
People who are smart about land, I'm sorry if you're upset with the mispronunciation. I did the pronunciation. Isthmus.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Isthmus.
I think
Panama.
It means
is that
Panama
a bottle
Canal.
Of water?
That makes sense, though, because I was like, wow, they were sailing, like, down past Africa, back up. Like, how is that faster?
No!
Oh!
But the journey took roughly 3 weeks.
Six.
No, ma'am.
Go watch TV!
Okay, and then the first mass-marketed version of mail related directly to Santa was the Pony Express, which is where we get his, where he's riding in the sleigh, the horses, the reindeer with bells. So the Pony Express, when they took the mail all around, they did it in covered wagons, and the horses had bells strung all around, all the way down. So people would hear it coming, they'd know
that they wouldn't walk in front of...
Yeah, they wouldn't walk in front, it wouldn't be accidents. You know, if it's a snow blizzard when they're on the way to the post office, they can hear them coming.
Horses don't have brakes.
No, the horses don't have brakes.
Horses don't have brakes.
But that's where his original Santa riding on a sleigh and you hearing the sound of bells, that's where that comes from. And that was in 1860. I didn't think it was that old. I thought that might have been something new that we came up with.
See, I thought it was older. I thought it was like...
I don't think people could imagine a man flying in a sleigh.
Oh, yeah, they would have called him a witch. They would have burned him.
Yeah. See, because I know some things are more, let's not say that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's okay. But the Pony Express was able to travel all the way through Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, Nevada, and California. They did all that by themselves. They were their own section of the Postal Service, and they took care of that route for few years. Whew. Like, that's insane amount of ground to cover with horses.
Imagine having to see the boss. Come to my office. Give just me 4 weeks. I'll be there.
Oh, good Lord. That would be awful. But they were able to do that route through all those states in 10 days.
Dang.
Yeah, 10 days.
They were cooking.
They were cutting the overland. Yeah, so what it took the steamboats to do, they were able to do in half the time.
Dang.
Yeah.
Those horses was flying.
Yeah, they were. And I couldn't find the specific breed of horse. I guess I didn't know how to Google.
Right. Ponies.
No, they were like specific ponies. They were bred for this purpose.
Fast the same, horse.
Yeah, the same as the wagons when they started carrying the mail. There used to be, so bank horses, I know this would be something with Wells Fargo's, they trained them in another language, just like dogs.
Oh.
So that way that like if bandits popped out and told the horses to stop, they wouldn't stop. They had a key word that only they knew, and they weren't to stop for anything else.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Wonder what language.
I have no idea. It was different for every group of people, but like that's crazy, like the amount of training and time it takes to do something like that. And like that's all that horse was ever bred to do was pull mail back and forth.
In a different language.
Yeah.
That's neat.
But that's...
I learned something today.
I can even teach an autistic. On April 3rd, 1806, that was the first Pony Express mail. That was their first time testing it. They traveled horse-to-rider relay teams. We talked about this.
Yeah, they're relaying them, a relay race.
So one horse would go, 50 miles, and then at the end of that 50-mile mark, they'd meet up with another horse and rider, pass the parcels or whatever to them, and then that rider would take off for another 50 miles until he made it to his destination. And they'd pass this bag of mail along as they did this, and I don't know how many days or, how long you'd have to wait there for something like that.
Right.
But, rain or shine...
Just in the middle of a thunderstorm, just sitting there. Sitting in the open field on the horse.
That's why the Postal Service has no mercy nowadays. So they would basically start, they started off at St. Joseph's in Missouri, Sacramento. Oh, in Missouri, and then they were going to Sacramento, California. They did this in 10 days.
Joe and the Raven will be back. More to come after these messages.